Tomorrow night, Bangor Waterfront, Daryl Hall, John Oates, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Trombone Shorty. Going to be a great show at the Darlings Waterfront Pavilion tomorrow night. Check it on out and come here first at Seasons, Main Street in Bangor. It's 4:15. Time to talk a little Red Sox. And to do that, we are joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by our friend from WEEI in Boston and the host of, well, the best baseball podcast out there. It's Rob Bradford joining us. Hi, Rob.
The soundtrack of my life, Hall & Oates. I love it.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Well, first, I'm amazed we got through to you. How's your phone after it got attacked on the DNC show?
No, my phone's fine. This one weathered the storm. This is brand new. This is the waterproof one. The problem I had before when I was in Tampa, I just walking down the street in a pouring rainstorm, and it broke. And within a week, I broke my phone, and a foul ball hit my laptop and ruined that. So technology has not been kind to me.
That's a bad week right there. Let's talk about the All-Star game last night. Certainly it was great to see the reception for Poppy, and overall it was a pretty good night for those Red Sox who got selected.
Yeah, you know, I think it was, you know, with the exception of Stephen Wright, which we can get into a little bit, but I think that you look at Ortiz, everything was based around Ortiz, and he did a great job, and most importantly, he didn't have to run a whole lot, put a lot of stress on his feet, because I think that was a concern. You don't want to – this guy needed rest, and this was about the least restful thing you do when you go to this All-Star game. But what an experience for the Bogarts and the Betts and the Bradley, and I think they all had their moments and show themselves off a little bit. So, yeah, I think overall, this, even though it was a trip across country and right before it's pretty brutal schedule in the second half, I think that these guys are going to come back with a smile on their face.
Now, as far as Stephen Wright goes, was that about not embarrassing American League catchers or National League hitters or some combination?
Yeah, you know, I get it. I get the whole thing about who's going to catch him, and I think Stephen Vogt, the Oakland A's catcher, probably would have done it. But here's how I look at it. There's plenty of times where you don't have a pitcher pitch. Tim Wakefield didn't pitch when he went there. And they're saving him as the long guy. So, all right, fine. But in this case with Stephen Wright, this is the guy with the best ERA in the American League. So by many, many people's measure, that means he was the best pitcher in the American League for the first half. And to not pitch the best pitcher, the guy with the best ERA in the game, when he's available, ready, willing, and able, I just think that that's a huge misstep on Ned Yost's behalf. You got to find a way, whether it's the catcher or the circumstance. You cannot have an Aaron Sanchez or Jose Quintana, both who are replacements for other guys and didn't even make the team initially, pitch when Stephen Wright did.
How about Terry Collins making friends? Does he want to be hated in New York? Is that the plan?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because you look at those two managers, how they manage the game, and I have my whole rant about how it's so fraudulent this game actually means something. But the two managers manage that game distinctly different. Ned Yost did manage to win the game, and even though, you know, you didn't pitch the guy with the best ERA, but he did play to win the game. And Terry Collins, who I think admitted to the TV broadcast, said, I want to get in every single uniform on the roster. So he was going to make sure all these guys played, and it wasn't a priority. When you have Diaz pinch hitting, which probably wasn't one of your better hitters, pinch hitting with the bases loaded, game on the line, two outs in the eighth inning, you know, that probably wasn't the best move. So I don't think Terry Collins was prioritizing winning maybe as much as Ned Yost. But it all comes back to the fact that this game should not count for home field advantage. It's an absolute joke.
I'm with you on that. Rob Bradford, WEEI, talking with us here on Downtown. Well, a couple of days for the Sox to regroup and get ready for the start of the second half at Yankee Stadium. Eduardo Rodriguez out of the gate. Is that simply because there aren't any other credible options for the team?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons. You have two spots in that rotation where you're going to have to find somebody for the time being, and it wasn't going to be Sean O'Sullivan. It wasn't going to be anyone else, so Rodriguez gets another chance. He pitched okay in his outing, and Pawtucket a little surprised they're calling him up this early after being sent down after that horrific outing in Tampa. And then you have, obviously, Buchholz filling in at some point. But Rodriguez, they have to figure out what they have. I mean, this is, you can say what they want about this being a start and not to make too much of it. But the timing of this is important because you're heading into the last 2 weeks before the non-waiver trade deadline. You got to kind of know what you have. And not to say it's the be-all, end-all, and if he pitches good, that you have everything solved. But it would be encouraging, and you would say, all right, Eduardo Rodriguez is closer to the pitcher that we thought he would be, and maybe we only have one spot to fill instead of two.
Now, Dave Dombrowski's been very proactive. He was in the offseason, and he was in the last week and a half picking up a good right-handed bat in Aaron Hill and then getting Brad Ziegler from the Diamondbacks. He says he'll get a starting pitcher. No big studs out there, but there's certainly some workable guys. Do you think they end up with somebody along the lines of an Irvin Santana, and what will they likely have to give up to get them?
Yeah, you know, I think that obviously, you know, you look at Santana, you look at Drew Pomeranz, you look at Rich Hill is an obvious one. So you look at some of these guys, and they're useful guys. And I think what it's going to come down to is which is going to be the deal which is most palatable in terms of not giving up the Moncadas and Benintendis, because they're not giving those guys up, especially for the type of names that we're talking about. But if you are able to land a Rich Hill, who I really, really like, not only because he was here and not only because he's a good guy, but because he's one of the best pitchers in the American League. And also, I think that month off of the groin injury really will help him get through the season. If you're able to get that guy without giving up the top-level prospect, which they're probably asking for right now, that's the guy you get. But they just have to sort through this and figure out which team, which guy, who's going to be available in a trade that's not involving one of those guys that are making them so uncomfortable.
Now, they've got the right-handed bat in Hill, but you still got a situation where left field is, at best, a crapshoot from day to day, week to week, until maybe a Swihart gets back. Do they try and get someone out there so that Brock Holt can go back to being that super utility type of guy?
Yeah, no, you know, I don't think so. I think that what they're going to do is Bryce Brent has played pretty well, so you have that right-handed bat until Chris Young comes back. And then in terms of the left-handed bat, you have Brock Holt and you have potentially Blake Swihart. And then there's Benintendi. I made this prediction that if they make the postseason, Benintendi is going to be on the roster. I think that he is ultimately going to be called up at some time. Maybe it's in September, but he's just playing too well. He's too far advanced. Already in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, Dombrowski went from saying this guy isn't ready offensively to really shying away, I think, from that comment when he met with the media after the Ziegler trade. So I think that that's not going to be a priority. If something falls in their lap, great. But I think they feel like they have enough to get through until they get all their guys back.
Is this going to stay a three-team race in the East, or do you see maybe even somebody like first-place Baltimore fading because they don't have quite the starting pitching that they need?
No, I think it's going to be all three teams. And you know, you look at Baltimore, and everyone's been waiting for them to fade. But here's the thing about Baltimore. Their bullpen is so good. It is just so good. You get into that bullpen, everyone talks about the Yankees, and it's because of how hard the Millers and Betances and the Chapman throws. I get that. But with Baltimore, you can match up and down, and then you're ending with Britton. It's a really, really good bullpen, and their starting pitching is just good enough. And Toronto, I think that their lineup is good enough. Now, it'll be interesting. We talk about some of these starting pitchers. I'm telling you, whoever gets Rich Hill, I keep bringing up Rich Hill, but Rich Hill is probably the best guy to get for any of these teams. And if any one of these three teams gets him, then to me, they automatically become the favorite.
I like the sound of that. I wanted to ask you, too, before we let you go, Rob. Theo, lots of talk about all of the guys in the All-Star game that he acquired somewhere along the way. Is he a Hall of Famer, even if the Cubs don't manage to win the World Series this year?
I think it's too early to tell. I think it's, you know, we're already saying that the Cubs are going to definitely be in the World Series and they're probably going to win the World Series this year. Now they see that they're slumping a little bit. I think the Cubs have to prove a little something. You know, obviously he's done a great job, and you look at all the All-Stars that he drafted and developed, but there's a little ways to go here. He deserves a tremendous amount of credit, But I think the Theo Epstein story is still yet to be told. And if you're going to try to predict that story because of all the talent, the young talent the Cubs have, then you'll probably say, then yeah, at the end of the day, he'll be recognized as one of the best executives ever. But until we get to that point, we still can't make that judgment.
Rob, before we let you go, I got to ask you a music question. We're playing Hall & Oates when we open things up, and we're asking guests. We're asking people for that summer song, that one song that maybe takes you back to your youth. Whenever you hear it in the summertime, you got to roll down the windows and crank up the radio and maybe even sing along. What's that song for you?
Well, Boys of Summer, obviously, you know, that's a cliche, right? But, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this on the radio today. I was feeling very, very unmotivated the other day, so I popped on Vision Quest, the 1985 classic, and Eminence Front comes on, and how can you not get jacked up when you hear that? So I like to feel like I have a better potential for exercise in this hot weather if I just get the Vision Quest soundtrack and then go back to 1985, put the rubber suit on, and then, you know, pretend like I'm going to wrestle shoot. So it's so that would be my answer, I guess.
That is awesome, and I'm pretty sure in nearly 5 years, the first Vision Quest reference on the show, so fantastic.
Well, there should be a good Vision Quest reference every 5 years, so I'll do it again in another five.
All right, sometime here in the next few weeks, we're going to start playing these songs, and we will play Eminence Front and dedicate it to you, Rob.
I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Rob. Enjoy the second half of the season. We'll check back again with you soon.
All right, thanks so much.
That's Rob Bradford, WEEI Boston, the Bradfo podcast at 27 after 4 o'clock downtown on your Wednesday afternoon. I like that. That's a good choice.
That is a good song.
Woof.
Always liked it. Always thought, I know Pete Townsend gets the rub, but I think he's even better than people think.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the, and that's one that doesn't spring to mind right away, but I'm like, yes.
That's one of those, that as far as a guy that lived in cover bands for quite a while, that's one of those songs that I always wanted to run out there and never got any support from the dudes in the band.
We're at 28 after the hour. It is downtown. Bruce Pratt here, Sports Lit 101. Coming up just a few. Alan Adams, Main Edge, next out.